This is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Methane is a powerful greenhouse gas, many times more powerful than carbon dioxide. It is also the main ingredient in natural gas, and leaks from natural gas pipelines and other infrastructure can be a major source of methane emissions to the atmosphere. In fact, a new estimate of methane leaks in cities along the Northeast Corridor finds the amount could be twice what the EPA officially budgets. Eric Court is an associate professor of atmospheric, oceanic, and space sciences at the University of Michigan and co-author of that recent survey of methane leaks in the Northeast. Eric, welcome to Living Lab Radio.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Methane is more powerful as a greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide. What does that actually mean when we say that?
Yes. So for methane, if we emit a pound of methane, it is equivalent of emitting considerably more pounds of CO2. And the relative comparison depends on the time frame of interest. So typically people think 100-year time frame, in which case a pound of methane is equivalent to about 30-some pounds of CO2. If we consider on a 20-year time frame, it's equivalent to about 80-some pounds of CO2.
And why does it change over time?
Because methane is reactive in the atmosphere, so it actually decays. Whereas CO2 persists for very long times, methane decays in about 10 years. So even though the methane molecule is more potent, it does go away. And this is part of the appeal of it from a mitigation perspective, in that if we actually reduce our human emissions of methane, it will cause the levels of methane in the atmosphere to actually decline.
And do so much more quickly than if we're cutting carbon dioxide emissions.
That's correct.
So that presumably then is behind this idea that natural gas as a fuel, methane as a fuel, is a cleaner or better option than something like coal or oil.
Well, yeah, the comparison between natural gas as a fuel and coal or oil, there's many layers that one can consider. It's certainly cleaner from an air quality perspective. There's less of air quality impacts from natural gas. From a climate perspective, more energy is produced per molecule of CO2 produced. But the question is, how much methane do you lose before you combust it, which compromises the benefits? And it's one of these situations that could be considered a win-win, because losing methane along the way is bad for the climate, but it also isn't really efficient from an energy perspective, because you're wasting this resource that you could combust for energy.
Right. I mean, that was going to be my next question, is why is so much methane lost in the process of extracting and transporting natural gas, when in fact that is the product that is being sold and used?
There's a number of reasons. One is it's simply difficult to take such large volumes of gas, pull them out of the ground in one place, process them to make it more pure methane than what comes out of the ground, transport it along hundreds and thousands of miles of pipelines. You will inevitably lose some along such a system. There still is more lost than we think needs to be lost, and that's for a combination of different reasons. Some of it is likely related to just old infrastructure, and some of it is related to not knowing where the emissions or losses are, and some of it is the economic incentive doesn't line up. If it would cost, let's say, $100,000 to repair methane lost in one part of the system, and it only costs $100 a year for that part to be leaking in lost methane, it doesn't typically make sense to, from an economic perspective, to fix it. And then there's another economic element, which is that often the people that are responsible for the loss of the gas often don't own that gas and maybe not incentivized to not lose it.
Well, Eric Court, you and your colleagues set out to measure methane leaks, methane emissions from the pipeline system, essentially around Northeast cities. How do you actually go about doing that?
Yeah, so we set out to study actually the methane emissions from anything and everything in the city. So not just the gas systems, but actually from anything else that can contribute, including things like landfills. And we did this by equipping an aircraft with instrumentation that could measure gases like methane and carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide, as well as ethane. And these are all different trace gases in the atmosphere. And it's a useful tool, so we can take the aircraft, fly around each one of these cities. We can see an elevated emissions plume that comes from these cities. So there's elevated carbon dioxide, and that comes about due to all the different combustion processes, the cars, the home heaters, all of those things. It mixes in the atmosphere, and we get this big plume off of the city. By measuring methane, we can actually look at what the methane looks like in this plume and see from that relationship how much methane is actually being emitted from the city.
And the end result of what you found was that a lot of methane is being emitted from these cities, a lot more than the EPA has typically budgeted.
That's correct. We found that these cities we measured, which was Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Philadelphia, Providence, and Boston, and New York City, all emitted roughly twice the amount of methane that's currently budgeted in the inventory. And actually, we're able to look at multiple gases to identify that most of that methane that we saw indeed was coming from natural gas systems and not from systems like landfills. And so it's why we can pinpoint that it's somewhere in this local distribution and end use of gas that this elevated emissions is emerging.
Let's talk about some of the other work that has been done in this sphere, Eric Kort. Your new study, one of the cities you looked at is Boston, as you said. There was a 2015 study in the Boston area. How do your results compare to that study?
It's very broadly consistent with some slight differences. So that study also found elevated emissions of methane relative to the inventories. Inventories have changed a little bit since the time of that study. We also found elevated emissions relative to the inventory. That study attributed the bulk of that to the natural gas system, which again was consistent with our study, which attributed the bulk of it to the natural gas system. The actual spatial extents of our studies are not quite the same. So it can be hard to dive into some other comparative details simply because we sampled a slightly different region than they did in that study. But the broad conclusions are very similar.
Your research is not wildly different than that previous study is I guess, kind of the take home there. And there have also been efforts in the past couple of years to try to synthesize all the data that's out there and get a sense of what that might say about methane emissions from the oil and gas pipeline system and use system as a whole. One of those last year found that methane emissions were at least 60% higher than those EPA inventories that you were talking about. Your work finds that it may be 100% higher, maybe fully twice or even three times what those EPA inventories are. Why so much higher? What might explain those discrepancies?
So that previous study, the 60% was considering the end-to-end system, right? So it's actually looking at all the different components. In this case, we're only looking at this kind of distribution and use part of the system. So it's not actually necessarily a disagreement between what we find in that study. It's more that we're focused only on one component of the natural gas system.
Eric Kort, one of the key comparisons that you make in this study that you've just recently published is your estimates of methane emissions compared to EPA inventories. And you've said that a few times in our conversation already. What are those inventories? What is the significance of them? And what are they used for?
So inventories serve a number of different purposes, but the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency puts together inventories on emissions of greenhouse gases in the U.S., and this is used for reporting internationally for what we think our emissions are of greenhouse gases, and it's also used internally for tracking what these emissions are. So it's really the tool by which our government assesses what our greenhouse gas emissions are. It is based on the inventory.
Eric Kort, put all of this into perspective. Given that there are many other sources of methane, how important are these methane leaks from the natural gas supply chain, and how important is it that they are underestimated in these EPA inventories? Is this more of a, you know, an academic footnote to the methane story, or is this the main event?
It's a good question. I actually tend to think of this work and these findings as more providing really appealing mitigation opportunities. And that as we find that emissions tend to be higher than we thought they were, but also identify better where they're coming from and that they may indeed, in fact, be addressable, it's actually a really favorable opportunity where we could actually reduce emissions that have significant climate impact in an efficient way that does not require large structural changes.
And as you said, a potential win-win, that we're actually recapturing a fuel and a saleable product.
That's correct.
Eric Kort is an associate professor of atmospheric, oceanic, and space sciences at the University of Michigan and co-author on a recent estimate of methane leaks in cities in the Northeast. Eric, thanks so much for talking with us.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Coming up, new research hints at the impact of the Me Too movement, both positive and negative. Living Lab Radio continues after a short break.